Thank you, Minister, very much, and the session for having me along for your harvest services today. It's a privilege to be with you, and I thank the Minister, the Reverend Johnson, for his very kind and gracious words of welcome. The fond memories of the people here in Newton Ards during my time as a student. I don't expect you to remember me, but I remember some of you and remember those blessed times. And it's wonderful to hear how the Lord has blessed over the years under the ministry of God's servant and your beautiful new church hall, and how the Lord has prospered you here in Newton Ards. So thank you so much for coming this morning. It is our prayer that God will bless and undertake as we minister the word of the Lord. We're in Ruth chapter 2, and I just want to draw your attention to verse number 16. Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 16. Here we have the words of Boaz, and he's speaking to his servants who are gleaning in the fields, and he speaks concerning Ruth and says to his servants as they glean the barley, "Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." And it's just that little phrase there, the handfuls of purpose, that I'd like to draw your attention to this morning. Let's unite our hearts together afresh in prayer, and pray that the Lord will speak to us, that the Lord will visit us, that the Spirit of God will come down, and that God will minister to all of our hearts and lives. Let's just open our hearts to the Lord afresh and pray that the Lord will come amongst us. Heavenly Father, in the stillness and in the quietness, O God, of this meeting house, we come before thy throne afresh. And O God, we thank thee for thy precious word. Lord, we thank thee today that thou dost know all of our situations. Thou dost know the circumstances that befall each and every one of us, and even the circumstances of this congregation. And O God, we pray today that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt give grace, that thou wilt give help, and that, Father God, we might know throughout the course of this thy day an abiding sense of the presence of the Lord. We pray, O God, that every situation and circumstance, O God, that we find ourselves in, that we might realize that there are handfuls of purpose to be gleaned, O God, handfuls of purpose that the Lord in his wisdom and in his grace and mercy has allowed to fall before us in our pilgrim journey here below. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt give help now in the preaching of thy word and in the hearing of it. Speak, O God, into every heart and into every life. Grant, O God, we might rejoice as we leave this place, knowing that the Lord has had a plan and a purpose in us being here. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt lead us on with thyself. Bless thy people. We pray, Lord, thou wilt enable us to grow in grace. Remember those today, Lord, who are cold at heart, some that are not yet converted. We pray, Lord, that whatever the need of each individual life would be, that thou wouldst come and meet that need. Lord, I pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and for the anointing of God. And I pray that thou wouldst hide me behind the cross. Glorify thy Son, and let this preacher's name be forgotten. But grant, O God, that the name of our Saviour and our God will be exalted and magnified and glorified. We pray in the precious and worthy name of thy Son, and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Some of you will know that the little book of Ruth, just four chapters, shines as a bright star in a dark period of Israel's history. We're told in Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 1 that the setting of the book was during the days of the judges. And the days of the judges, that time period in the history of Israel, can be described in the very last verse of the book of Judges, where it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." There was no king in Israel. No king within the hearts of the people. Everybody, in a sense, was their own king. There was no absolutes. There was no really rule or standard for living or for righteousness in the nation. And it was a dark time in Israel's history. But the story of Ruth falls during that period. And the story of Ruth highlights this love story between a young girl, whose name, of course, was Ruth, and a man called Boaz. But it's much more than just a love story. It is really a picture of redemption and the whole vista of the Christian's life and experience. Just very simply to summarize the book, chapter 1 speaks of Ruth, a stranger brought in. She came from the land of Moab. She was an outsider. She was a stranger to grace and a stranger to God and a stranger essentially to the people of God. And yet through a series of very sad and tragic events in her life, she finds herself brought into Israel. She finds herself trusting in the God of heaven, the God of Israel, the great Jehovah God. And she finds herself being powerfully converted and brought into a state of grace and relationship with the Lord. And today we're all, by natural birth, strangers to God and strangers to grace. Many of us today can say, I once was a stranger to grace and to God, but you've been brought into covenant relationship with the God of heaven, and you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be said of you, as it was said of the believers at Ephesus, and ye who were sometimes afar off have been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then chapter 2 and chapter 3 speak about Ruth, the gleaner in the field. And so we see in chapters 2 and 3, Ruth entering into service and enjoying a great relationship with the people of Israel, with the people of Bethlehem, but most of all, with an individual called Boaz. Boaz was a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the house of bread, and there's bread to spare in God's house. He was also a redeemer of sorts, the kinsman redeemer, as he's given that title of being a kinsman in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 1. And of course the Saviour was born in Bethlehem, and he was the great redeemer. And Boaz was a man of grace, a man of wealth, a man of kindness. And the Saviour himself is full of grace, full of truth. And he is, of course, full of kindness and benevolence toward the stranger. And then chapter 4 speaks of Ruth, the wife of Boaz. And the story has a happy ending whenever Ruth and Boaz get married publicly before all in the land. And there's a day coming whenever the Saviour himself will take unto himself his bride. And we'll all sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lord, praise God, one day will make all things new. And then we know that Ruth gave birth to Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And of course, that leads on to great David's greater son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But much of the story surrounds harvest time. Verse 22 of chapter 1 tells us that it was the beginning of barley harvest. And of course, harvest time is a testimony to the goodness and the faithfulness of God and the fact that God keeps his promises and his covenant engagements. As long as earth remaineth, Genesis tells us, there will be seed time and there also will be harvest time. And of course today we can say that the Lord has been faithful to each and every one of us. But here in verse number 16 of Ruth chapter 2, we have this little phrase concerning handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. Now, according to the Old Testament law, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, that whenever harvest time came in Israel, and any strangers found themselves in Israel at harvest time, anybody that owned a field and the reapers were in the field and they were gleaning the harvest, they were to leave the outside, the perimeter of the field, for the strangers to come and glean ears of corn, that they might have something wherewith to satisfy their hungry bodies and their longing stomachs. And here Boaz says, bring Ruth in, not just to the outside of the field, but bring her right in to where the reapers are gleaning. And allow some handfuls of barley, and allow the best ears to fall on purpose for her. You might want, in a sense, to make it look like an accident, but really you're doing it on purpose. Because I want Ruth to enjoy the very best of the barley harvest. And I want her not just to have enough to satisfy her hunger, but I want her to have an abundance of barley, an abundance of grain, an abundance of food. And so the servants of Boaz are called upon to allow some handfuls of grain and sheaves to fall on purpose for Ruth to gather up. And on our pilgrim journey through this world, our wonderful Saviour has seen to it that there are certain handfuls that the Lord allows to fall on purpose before us, that we might be filled and that we might be blessed and that we might be satisfied. And I just want to speak for a little while this morning on these handfuls of purpose and what they speak to us about. I think the first thing that the handfuls of purpose remind us of here this morning are the fact that we enjoy God's protection. These handfuls of purpose speak of our protection. Now here's Ruth, and she's going into the field and she's beginning to glean. And she's not just on the outside of the field according to the law, but she's in the midst of the field and she's gleaning and she's gathering amongst the chief reapers and servants of Boaz. And Boaz says to his servants in verse number 9, "Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" He had given commandment, "Thou don't lay a finger upon Ruth. Ruth is special to me. And I want to protect her and I want to watch out for her. And don't lay a finger upon Ruth." Verse number 12 speaks not just about her physical protection under Boaz, but her spiritual protection under the God of heaven. Because there Boaz says to Ruth, "The Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so as these handfuls of purpose are falling before Ruth, Boaz, perhaps unknown to her, has seen to it, long before he ever mentioned it to her, that she would be protected. And she would be kept safe in the field as she gathers the ears of corn. And she's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And as we live in this world below, isn't it wonderful to know that the very God of heaven and our wonderful Saviour has seen to it that nothing will ever come across our pathway that will ever harm us unnecessarily. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Many times in Scripture we read about what it is to do exactly what Ruth did, and trusting neath the shadow of the wings of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2, speaking of the Saviour still to come, "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." And oftentimes in the book of Psalms we read about abiding under the shadow of the Lord's wings and having our trust underneath the shadow of the Lord's wings. And it's good to know today that all that are joined to the Saviour are kept under the shadow of the Lord's wings. The story is told, a very familiar story. I think it was old Donald Barnhouse, an old American preacher who's gone to be with the Lord, about the prairie lands in the western states of America. And on one occasion, a fire was seen on the horizon, and the farmer was wise, and as the fire was approaching his crops and his farm and his home and his family, he realized that everything would be destroyed if he didn't act quickly. And he realized as well that the wind was going away from the farm towards the flames. So he decided to set fire to his own barley fields, his own fields of wheat and his fields of grain. And he lit a fire just on the periphery of his home. And the wind took that fire away from his house and burned up all of his crops. And then whenever the fire that was coming out last reached close to his farm, there was nothing there on that side of his farmhouse but dust and ashes. And the fire just went right around his home and kept his family safe. But he lost all of his harvest that year, but he kept his home. And In a sense, sad, but also thankful that his family and his house had been preserved. He walked out into the meadows and he was just kicking over some of the old smoking flaxes there that were in the field, and he noticed the remains of an old charred hen. And as he approached that hen, he realized and felt in his heart that the hen must have got confused in the flames and didn't know which way to turn. And very casually, he just hit it with his foot, and the hen fell over, but 7 or 8 little chicks just ran out from beneath that hen, and they were safe, because they had abided under the shadows of the mother hen's wings, and they were protected. And that's what the Lord does for us. If you're a Christian today, you do not need to be afraid of the wrath of God, because you're standing where the fire has been. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But it may be this morning that you yourself are not a Christian, and you've never been saved, and it could be said of you, as it was said of the children of Israel, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the day the Savior stood in the mountainside and wept over the city and said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not." And the Lord would save you today if you will come, and you can experience the Lord's protection. And here you are this morning, and God drops this handful of purpose before you. He wants to protect you. It also speaks of our provision. Ruth was poor, and Ruth was needy. Her husband had died, and it was just a story of heartache and pain all those latter years of her life in Moab. And now she finds herself in Israel, and she's tired, and she's weary, and she's hungry, and she's thirsty, and she's empty, and she's broken. But Boaz is wealthy, and Boaz is kind, and Boaz is merciful. As it says there in verse number 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And unknown to Ruth, as these handfuls of purpose fall before her, Boaz is thinking about providing for all of her needs. The psalmist could say, "I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me." And as Naomi and Ruth arrive back here in Israel, Ruth is not even aware of it just yet, but there's a man there that can provide for all of her need. And my blessed Redeemer provides for all of my need. And as you make your way through life in this world, there's many things that you need. You need grace, and you need guidance, and you need God, and you need His salvation, and you need His sustenance, and you need His satisfaction. And there's only one person that can provide the things that you really need, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that comes to trust in Him realizes that in His plans and in His purposes for us, He provides for all of our needs. The psalmist David could say, "I have been young, now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging bread." The apostle Paul could say, "But my God shall supply all your need, according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus." Years ago, old Dr. Ironside, who was once the pastor of the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, was called to address some of the faculty of a Bible college in the United States. This college was struggling for financial means to keep the doors open, and they were just at their wit's end, and so they called a season of prayer, and Mr. Ironside was invited along to speak to them and encourage them and help them as they sought the Lord in prayer. And so they gathered in a special room within the college. And as they were praying, old Dr. Ironside stood to his feet, and he quoted from the book of Psalms. And he says, "Lord, your word tells us that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and every beast of the forest is thine. Lord, would you not sell some of those cows and send us the money?" And before that day was over, he was called out of that prayer meeting to the foyer of that college And as he went and opened the doors, he saw a large man standing in a three-piece suit with cowboy boots on and a Stetson hat. And he says, "Mr. Ironside, I'm a rancher from Texas. And I recently have just sold up my farm, and I want to honor the Lord with the first fruit of my substance, and I've decided to make a donation to the college." Mr. Ironside thanked him very much, took the envelope from him, went back into the prayer meeting, and there was more than enough to keep the college open. And the Lord had provided for their needs. We often pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." And if we're like Ruth and we're united to the blessed Redeemer, we're in the right place. We're in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And I wonder today, are you looking for something in life? Are you longing for something in life? Well, you'll find what you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can provide for your need. But these handfuls of purpose, they also speak of God's providence, God's protection, God's provision, but God's providence. Now I can just picture Ruth out here in the field. And she's gleaning the ears of corn around the edge of the field. And Boaz says, "Now Ruth, don't be afraid to go into the midst of the field and gather amongst my chief servants." And she looks at him, and as she gleans the ears of corn there, she can't help but notice that these big men are getting sheaves and they're bundling them together, and somewhat clumsily seem to be dropping them and missing their baskets and just leaving them behind. And as Ruth goes over and lifts them, it's almost as if you can see the servants just turning around and smiling at her and almost saying, "Ruth, it's okay. That's for you. You can keep that." And she's maybe now getting the picture that these men are dropping these handfuls on purpose. And maybe she looks at Boaz and he just stands and smiles and says nothing. And she realizes that as she was gleaning in the field at the start, and these men were dropping these handfuls, that they were doing it on purpose. And behind it all, there was the unseen hand of Boaz who was orchestrating the whole thing. And she couldn't understand it perhaps at the time. But as she gets used to it, she realizes that this is happening on purpose. And friends, today there are things that happen to us in life. Things that we do not understand. Things that we cannot make sense of. Things that almost to our little eyes and tiny minds, they look like they're happening by mistake. And we can't understand them at all. Just as the Lord began to wash the feet of his disciples and came to Simon Peter, and Peter asked the Lord, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Lord, surely you've got this back to front." And the Lord said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And maybe it was the same for Ruth. Maybe she lifted all of these handfuls and she came to Boaz and says, "Boaz, your men have dropped all of these sheaves around about the fields, and I've gathered them up for you, and I just want you to have them." And then Boaz maybe turned around and says, "Well, Ruth, those are for you. That happened on purpose. I was behind it all." Just as Joseph, whenever he arrived in Egypt and was thrown into Potiphar's house to be a servant there, and then accused of immorality and thrown into the prison cell, and then right at the end of his days, in Genesis 50, verse 20, whenever his brethren came and they apologized and they asked for forgiveness, Joseph had at last understood that behind it all there was this unseen hand. And he said to them, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Paul could say that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, all things that happen to believers, not all things are good. There are many things that happen to God's people that aren't good. But the key word in that text of Scripture, Romans 8:28, is the word "together." You take any medication, there are things within any tablet or pill or whatever it is that you take, there's things in it that will kill you in and of themselves. But work together by the great physician in the right amounts, under the right circumstances, in the right conditions, they work together for good. And there are things in life that aren't good. There's pain and there's suffering and there's tears and there's heartache. But they work together under God and His providence for our good. Just like the great tapestry, and you see it from underneath, and it's just loose ends and knots and various colours, and there seems to be no order and tangles and loops, and just doesn't seem to be any design. But whenever you look at it from the other perspective, you see a great design and you see a great purpose. And so it is in life. One day we'll look back and we'll realise that yes, God was working in providence, and these were handfuls of purpose. But the handfuls of purpose also speak of God's priority. There were many people that day that were gleaning in the fields. There were many strangers, no doubt, gleaning on the periphery. And yet we're told in verse number 14 that she sat beside the reapers. Out of all of the people that day that were gleaning in that field, while Boaz had a common love for them all and showed mercy and goodness to them all, he had a special and a peculiar and a particular interest in Ruth. And I believe, friends, today that God is interested in all humanity. The Bible says that He causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And He provides for the sparrow. And He provides for the beast of the field. And He provides for the animal in the wilderness. And He provides for the ungodly. But He's got a special interest in His own children. The Bible says that we are His peculiar treasure. We are the apple of His eye. And as the Savior from heaven looks down upon His church that He's purchased with His own precious blood, of which many here this morning are members of, by faith, by grace, the Lord looks down at you and you're God's priority. God has promised to look after you. God has promised to keep His hand upon you. And God has promised to provide for you. God is 100% committed to the welfare of His children. And yet there's some here this morning and you're maybe not yet a Christian. I want to say very humbly that God has no duty, no promise, no obligation to you. You must be like Ruth and come to know the God of heaven. And then whenever you enter in and you abide under the shadows of His wings and you come to trust in Him and you're found close to the Lord's heart, you'll become God's priority. And you'll look at this whole world in a different way. As the hymn writer said, heaven above is softer blue, and earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. And I'm special because God has loved me. For He gave the best thing that He had to save me. Yes, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But the Church of Christ is the apple of God's eye, His priority. Lastly, the handfuls of purpose speak of our privileges. You see, this was all of grace. Ruth was a stranger. She was brought in. She was a Moabitess. And the Moabites, down through the years, had grievously afflicted the children of Israel. And she didn't really deserve anything. She had no merit before Boaz. She deserved nothing, and neither do you and neither do I. But these handfuls of purpose for her were a privilege. She didn't deserve them. But in receiving them, she realized that Boaz is full of mercy and he's full of grace. And Boaz is going well beyond what the law dictates. According to the law, I can glean on the outside of the field, but Boaz calls her to come right in and says, I want you to have much more than just what's on the outside, but I want you to come right in and enjoy the privileges that I have purchased for you. And I wonder today, as a Christian, are you enjoying God's privileges? Are you one of those types of Christians who maybe stands on the periphery and you get just enough to keep you going? Just a little bit of grace and just a little bit of God and just a little bit of His Word and just a little bit of prayer and just a little bit of God's house and just a little bit of fellowship with God's people. But you're not really entering in and reaping all of the privileges that God has given you and purchased for you on the cross. It was J.C. Ryle who said concerning prayer that prayer is one of the most neglected of all the Christian's privileges. It was the Savior who said to the disciples, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught of fishes. It was that unknown saint who came to King Amaziah and said, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It was Jabez who prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. He realized that there's so much more. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of love that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. There's always much more. And the Savior has purchased so many great privileges for the people of God. Intimate fellowship with him. The infilling of the Spirit of God. The privilege of prayer. The wonderful thing of knowing God's grace and God's guidance. I wonder today, are you on the periphery? Or are you enjoying the privileges of God's salvation? I trust today that you'll realize that in life there are handfuls of purpose that God allows to fall upon our pilgrim pathway. Protection, provision, providence, priority, and our privileges. And I trust that you'll realize even today that there's a purpose in you being here. And we trust that God will write his word upon our hearts. Thank you, Reverend Johnson, so much.